let's go back to the reading from Acts, because John is delightfully John and therefore delightfully confusing today. And Acts is wonderfully beautiful. Today is the Sunday after Ascension Day, the day where, like in our reading today, Jesus is taken up into heaven. Again, maybe, sort of, depending on what you believe. But regardless of what you believe may have already happened in Jesus' life story, his time with his followers has ended. And he's sort of caught up into heaven and having a conversation with a friend of mine, and she mentioned that there's the Mosque of the Ascension. It used to be the Church of the Ascension, and then, you know, in that sort of messy Middle Ages period, became Islamic, so now it's the Mosque of the Ascension. And there's the footprints, the last footprints Jesus left. I commented, of course, it would have rained the day before, so you could have, you know, nice mud to leave footprints in. We're never irreverent, my friends and I. She said, well, maybe he had to push off really hard. The conversation sort of devolved from that point. But, you know, there's some open question as to how the mechanics of this happened. But that detracts from what happens afterwards. Jesus is caught up into heaven one way or another. He's taken away from his followers again. Remember, they didn't handle this too well the first time, which was perhaps slightly more traumatic because there was that whole crucifixion and death messiness. And this time, at least, there's the nice, clean, pretty pictures and sculptures of clouds and heaven and angels, and you can at least rest assured that it's happy, even if you're somewhat sad and think it's bittersweet yourself. But once again, Jesus is gone. His followers are sort of caught looking after him, thinking, and what do we do now? Sort of like my dog must feel when I leave him. What do I do now? I'll just lie here and mope, I've been assured is what he does when I leave him. So his followers, his disciples, his soon-to-be apostles are left there looking after Jesus, this person they followed for up to 3 years, who has shaped their lives, who has determined what they do, where they go, who has tried to shape how they think, and how they act, and they've been left again. So these two gentlemen show up, and you sort of want to picture them as angel-like beings, saying, so why are you moping? He'll come back. Don't stare up into heaven looking lost. I like that line. You know, don't stand here looking after Jesus. He'll come back. And then in this short paragraph we get at the end of our reading, we learn that the followers, we get a nice list of them that Episcopalians never memorize, even me, all go back home and devote themselves to prayer. If you follow the book of Acts, and again, almost no Episcopalians do this, you know that this comes from the first chapter of Acts, that Jesus' ascension is the beginning. And in the next chapter, the church begins to take shape, which is the foundation for the rest of the book of Acts. As the church grows and develops, and we begin to see the foundation for what we have inherited 2,000 some odd years later. But in this first chapter, they haven't figured it out yet. They haven't found their mission. They have no vision. They're still a little lost. They may have been sent home, but they're still a little lost. However, they've done something very important when they go home. They devote themselves to prayer. They may have forgotten all of the other things Jesus taught them to do. Heal the sick, love the poor, feed the hungry, visit those in jail, all of those other things that we know are in the gospel when they're said, but which are really, we also know, hard to do. but they remember prayer, which you have to give them, isn't a bad place to start. It's pretty good. By the end of the next chapter, we've gotten back to a place that's really healthy. By the end of the next chapter, you guys will all recognize this line. We have, and the apostles devoted themselves, the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. So they don't never give this up, and they begin to expand on it. But they start here with prayer, which is good. I mentioned in announcements earlier that we have our first week for Family Promise. We are working with the Cathedral of St. Peter's and the Cathedral of St. Helena. St. Peter's is our host church. St. Helena and ourselves are partner churches, which means between the three of us, we're responsible for providing food and a place, a safe place, for up to 14 people. Probably won't actually be 14 people, so don't panic too quickly there. To spend 1 week as they try and put their lives back together. I tell people that when they ask me how we got there, I tell them it took me about 8 months to talk you all into this. And I couldn't have done it alone. What I don't tell them, but what I'll tell you, is I remember the vestry meeting where I finally knew I could convince everyone to sign the partner agreement. Some of the vestry members will remember this in a second here. We start every vestry meeting with Bible study because I like doing that, and I like doing that in groups in part, and I don't get many groups to do that with, but also because Bible study is one of those foundational things for the church. And if all we talked about at vestry was budgets and to-do lists, we'd be missing a part of who we are. And at this vestry meeting, our Bible study, I went back and I looked up the passage we had talked about, and I couldn't remember how we'd made the connection from the passage to the discussion, but we'd gotten there. And we talked about how it was important to serve people as a part of being the church. And in that discussion, and we just touched lightly on Family Promise that night, I knew that we were finally in a place where we could say yes to that work, even though it was still, and is still, very scary. Which is very much like, I think, the early church in our reading today. They went home, and they were still very scared. At the end of this chapter in Acts, where Jesus is still gone, and they don't know what that means for them. And at the end of the next chapter, and at the end of every chapter after that. And if you talk to people who work in the church today, we're still terrified. The world is changing faster than the church is, and we still don't know what it means for us. Nothing has changed and everything has changed. And the best we can do some days is exactly what we have already done. Look around and say, this we can do. We can work with an organization to provide housing and food for one family about four times a year, 4 weeks out of the year. That we can do. We can go back to our houses at the end of the day and pray, like the apostles and the disciples did in our reading, because that's always a good place to start. It's where we started, that's where we will continue. It's where mission comes from. That's where the church is always rooted. It's where we are rooted. It's one of the reasons I've always enjoyed working with you. It's one of the reasons we will continue. Amen.